Please turn again to Acts chapter 9. Very simply this evening, I want to preach on the subject, Paul the Penitent. And I want to base my remarks on Acts chapter 9, verses 3 to 6. And as he journeyed, that was Saul of Tarshish, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's word tonight. Our gracious, loving Father in heaven, we thank thee that you're still able to save to the uttermost all that come to thee through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that there is still salvation offered to the whosoever will, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And O God, we thank thee that we're still in the day of grace. And O God, we pray for those in this service tonight who are still halting between two opinions. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to them very personally and powerfully. And even this evening, that they will come to Christ and accept the Lord as their own and personal Redeemer. O God, we thank thee that you're still calling sinners to repentance. We thank thee, Lord, for this great truth. And O God, we just pray tonight that in this church that there might be those who will respond to the call of God, seek the Lord and find eternal redemption through the blood of the Lamb. O God, we pray now that you would fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. And help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The conversion of Saul of Tarshish is undoubtedly the greatest conversion in the history of the church. One commentator has said, it would be impossible to come up with another conversion that has so affected in a positive way the growth, development and history of the church more than the conversion of Saul of Tarshish. Indeed, some would say that next to the day of Pentecost, the salvation of Paul on the Damascus Road was the greatest event to take place in the book of Acts. Whether you believe that to be the case or not, there's no doubt that when God saved this ungodly persecutor and then called him to be a preacher of the gospel, the church of Christ was greatly blessed. This morning in our studies, we highlighted Paul's persecution of the church before his conversion. We saw what a wicked, ungodly, and sinful man Saul of Tarshish was. Paul was not only content to reject the gospel of Christ himself, but he made it his purpose and he went out of his way to do everything in his power to destroy Christianity completely. So much did Paul hate the Church of Christ that he made it his life's ambition to wipe Christianity off the face of the earth. And of course, as we found out this morning, he did this all in the name of religion. However, when we come to our text tonight in Acts chapter 9, we see God stepping into Paul's life and saving his precious soul. What takes place in Acts chapter 9 can be only described as the power of God. No one else could have changed Saul of Tarshish. No one else but the God of heaven could have transformed this wicked, evil persecutor and made him what he became, a great saint of God. And very simply, as we come again this evening to consider this subject of highlights from the life of Paul, I want to draw your attention to Paul the penitent. Because in this chapter, we see Paul humbling himself before the God of heaven in true repentance. I wonder, is there someone here tonight and you're not saved? Deep down in your heart, although you come to church every week, you're not born again of the Spirit of God. There has never been a transformation in your life. Well, I pray this evening, as you listen to the gospel and as you consider what happened to this wicked sinner in Acts chapter 9, that the Lord will take a dealing with your heart, and that even tonight, even this very hour, that your life will be changed and that you will be saved, truly saved by the grace of God. Because my friend, if you get truly saved tonight, your life will never be the same again. And you will leave this house this evening knowing that you're on your way to heaven, knowing that your sins are forgiven, and knowing that you'll never be in hell. And it's only the Lord that can do that for you. But thank God, He will do that for you if you come and humble yourself before God and take the sinner's place. Thank God this evening you can leave this house on your way to heaven. You can leave this house tonight with the joy of salvation in your heart. The greatest day in my life was the day when the Lord saved me. And I can remember that day right to this very hour. And I can remember after the Lord saved me, going home from the gospel service that night, a changed man, a changed young man, and how the Lord blessed me that night and gave me the assurance of His salvation. My friend, do you have the assurance of God's salvation this evening? Oh, I pray if you have not, that you will experience God's salvation this evening and that your life will be transformed. Because no matter how wicked you are, no matter how sinful you are, no matter how self-righteous you are, thank God the Lord can do for you what He did on the Damascus Road for Saul of Tarsus. Now, I want you to notice very simply a number of things here. I want you to notice, first of all, the revelation Paul received. In Acts chapter 9, Paul received a personal revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. This revelation involved a literal face-to-face meeting with the Son of God. That's what we have in our text from verses 3 to 6. But look with me again at some of these verses. Look at verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Underline these words. And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. This revelation involved a literal face-to-face meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. The resurrected Christ revealed himself to Saul of Tarsus in a most unique way. And this fact that Paul saw the resurrected Christ and met the resurrected Christ is repeated many times in the New Testament. Not only here in Acts chapter 9, verses 3 to 6, but in many other places in the Word of God. Saul of Tarsus really did meet the Lord that day. Take a look at Acts 9 and verse 17. Because when the Lord told Ananias to go and speak to Paul, this is what Ananias said to Paul after he met him. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, underline these words, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest. My, not only did Paul know that he had met the resurrected Christ, but Ananias knew that Paul had met the resurrected Christ as well. And here he gives testimony to that fact. Keep your hand in Acts chapter 9 and turn over with me to Acts chapter 26 and look what Paul says as he gives his testimony to King Agrippa in verses 15 and 16 of this portion of Scripture. "And I said, Who art thou, Lord?" Here's Paul giving his testimony, and he's telling about that day on the Damascus Road. And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." Those are the words that you need to underline in verse 16, where the Lord said, "I have appeared unto thee." My friend, there can be no doubt about it that on the Damascus Road, the Apostle Paul received a revelation, and he met the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1, we read these words where Paul said, "Am I not an apostle? Am not I free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord?" There again, Paul testifies to the fact that on the Damascus Road, he met the Lord, and the Lord met him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 8, let me just read this text of Scripture to you. We read these words. Paul said, "And last of all, he, thus Christ, was seen of me also as of one born out of due time." Oh, my friend, there are many truths that we can learn from this great fact, but let me emphasize this truth. Jesus Christ has risen again. He's not in the tomb, and he's not on the cross, but he has risen, and he is alive forevermore. And thank God, someday the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, because the Bible tells us that the Son of God shall ascend from heaven the second time and come back to this world. Now, of course, when he comes back the second time, he's not coming. He's not coming to be crucified. He's not coming to be killed. He's not coming to be put into a sepulchre. He's coming to judge this world. But this great truth is brought out here when we consider the revelation that Paul received here of the resurrected Christ. The Lord Jesus is alive. The Son of God is alive. And that's a truth that you need to learn this evening, especially if you're found here and you're not saved and you're not a Christian. We're dealing here with reality, and we're dealing here with facts. And on the Damascus Road, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared personally and spoke personally to Saul of Tarshish. Now, it has to be said, it is not necessary to literally see Jesus Christ in order to be saved. But the truth that is being taught here in Acts 9 through Paul's experience is that soul salvation is obtained through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Salvation is only in Christ. By believing on him and by accepting Christ as Savior and Lord. But it is not necessary to literally see the Son of God in order to believe on him and in order to be saved. Now, let me prove that to you before we go any further. Keep your hand in Acts chapter 9 and turn back to John's Gospel chapter 20. And we have a very interesting verse. Verse 29. Here we have the Lord Jesus, and he's speaking to Thomas after the resurrection. And of course, Thomas was a doubter. He refused to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ had risen again until, as he said himself, "I put my fingers into the nail prints and thrust my hand into the side. I will not believe." And look what the Lord Jesus Christ said to him after the Lord revealed to Thomas that he had risen again. Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me." And of course, after Thomas seen the Lord, he believed. "Thou hast believed." That's what the Lord says here. "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed." But underline these words. "Blessed are they that have not seen They have not seen me in the flesh, and yet have believed. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ there is speaking about you and me who are saved. We haven't literally seen the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. Someday we will. Someday we will see him face to face. Someday when he comes again, or when we're taken home to glory before the second coming of Christ, if that is the will of the Lord, we will see the Lord face to face. But we believe on him. We believe the Bible. We accept what the Bible says concerning the resurrected Christ. And of course that was the message of Paul to the jailer. The jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe by faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh sinner, what you need tonight in order to be saved is a revelation of Jesus Christ. That revelation can be seen in the Word of God, however, the Bible. The Bible reveals to us the person and work of Jesus Christ. Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9 verse 5 said to Christ, who art thou, Lord? And Christ replied, I am Jesus. In other words, I am the Savior. I am the only Savior. I am the resurrected Savior. I am the Savior who is alive forevermore. And the Bible reveals this great truth to us. Not only here in Acts chapter 9. Not only do we learn this great truth when we study the life of Saul of Tarsus and the Apostle Paul. But throughout the Bible reveals to us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. My friend, have you ever believed on him? Have you ever accepted him as your own and personal Savior? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Have you ever believed on the Son of God? Have you ever accepted him as your own and personal Redeemer? Oh, until sinful man sees Christ for who he is, he will never be saved. Who is he? He is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what Paul said immediately after he was saved, when he went into Damascus. Look at verse 20 of Acts chapter 9. And straightway, we'll be dealing with this text later on in these studies. And straightway, Paul preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. That he is the Son of God. My, what a revelation that Saul of Tarsus received that day. He saw the Christ of God. My friend, if you're ever going to be saved, you need to see the Christ of God. He needs to be revealed to you. And thank God, through the Word of God, the Bible, he is revealed to us. Read the Bible. Study the Scriptures of truth. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me, Jesus said. Oh, I pray this evening that the Lord will open your eyes to see the truth of the Scriptures concerning the Christ of God. And I pray that the Lord will open your heart in order that you might receive this Savior as your own and personal Redeemer. Because the Bible says, for as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The revelation he received. But notice something else here. Turn back to Acts chapter 9. Notice the rebuke Paul was given. As the Lord Jesus speaks to Paul here, the Son of God rebukes him sharply. Christ here draws Paul's attention to his persecution and leaves Paul in no doubt that when he persecuted the church, he was persecuting Christ himself. Now, we noticed this morning, but again, let me draw your attention to it. Because when the Lord started to speak to Saul of Tarsus here in Acts chapter 9, the Lord says clearly, why persecutest thou me? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Verses 4 and 5. Men and women, when you hurt the church, you hurt Christ. When you persecute the people of God, you persecute God himself. When you speak out against the saints, you're speaking out against the Lord. Paul's sin of persecution was not only against the body of Christ. Paul had sinned against the Lord. Again, we found that out this morning. But let me emphasize it again as we come to consider Paul the penitent, because the Lord not only revealed to Saul of Tarsus that he was the Savior, that he was the Messiah, that he was the resurrected Christ, but here the Lord shows Saul of Tarsus that he is a sinner of the deepest dye, and what he has been doing has been wrong in the sight of God. The sins that men commit may hurt others, but sin hurts God most of all. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ was revealing unto Saul of Tarsus. And here the Lord Jesus rebukes and condemns Paul for his sin and reveals his sin to him. Why? Because before Saul of Tarsus could get saved and have his sins forgiven, he had to see that he was a sinner and that he had sinned against the Lord. My friend, do you recognize that you're a sinner and that you have sinned against the Lord? When the Son of God rebuked Paul's sin in Acts chapter 9, the Savior was being merciful unto him. Because the Lord wanted Paul to turn away from his sin and find forgiveness. You know, men today don't like to be called sinners. Of course, none of us like to be called sinners, but we are all sinners, as we found out this morning, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's a mercy when God reveals to sinful man his sin. It's a mercy when God stops the sinner on his mad career to hell and reveals unto him his sinnership. Because in doing that, God loves the sinner. You see, you and I, friend, cannot get saved until we confess and repent of our sin. Now, we're going to see in a moment that Saul of Tarsus repented of his sin, but before he could repent, he had to see himself as a sinner. And Saul of Tarsus was under conviction of sin because the Son of God said to him, look at verse 5, these are very interesting words. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What do those words mean? Well, this reveals unto us that Paul was troubled in his heart about what he was doing. What was he doing? Well, we found out this morning what he was doing. He was persecuting the Church of Christ. He was threatening them. He was imprisoning them. He was beating them. He was killing them and murdering them. He was seeking to do everything within his power to destroy Christianity. And yet, during that time, even during that time, his conscience was pricking him. He was not at rest. His persecution that he was carrying out against the church, deep down in his heart, he knew what he was doing was wrong. And yet, although Paul knew what he was doing was wrong, he continued to fight against it. And he continued his persecution of the church. He continued to kick against the pricks. You know, there are those perhaps in this meeting tonight, and you know that your sin is wrong, and you know that your sinning is wrong, but you're kicking against the pricks. You're fighting against your conscience. You're fighting against the Spirit of God striving with you. Friend, fight no longer, but yield to Christ today and come and trust the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Redeemer. Here the Lord rebukes Paul for his sin. He rebukes him for his sin. And the Lord did that because he loved Paul, even this great sinner. And while he did not love the sins that Paul was committing, he loved the sinner. And my friend, that is the truth tonight of the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. He does not love our sins, but he loves us, the sinner. He does not love your sin, but he loves you, the sinner. And he wants you to know this evening that you are a sinner, but he wants you to know that because he wants to show you mercy. He wants to forgive you for your sins. He wants to cleanse you from your sins. He wants to make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, I wonder tonight, at the close of this another gospel service, would you not acknowledge your sinnership before God? Would you not bow before Him and trust Him and believe on Him and accept Him as your own and personal Savior? Notice something else here. Turn back again to Acts chapter 9. Not only do we see here the revelation that Paul received and the rebuke that Paul was given, but of course, we must emphasize the repentance Paul experienced. This man truly repented of his sin. Look at verse 6. And he trembling. Now, the Lord has spoken to him. The Lord has revealed unto him that he is Jesus. The Lord has rebuked him for his persecution. The Lord has rebuked him for his sin. And now Paul comes humbly before the Lord and trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I believe that we can pinpoint Paul's conversion to verse 6. I'm sure that you've heard me say that before, but I believe that to be the case. These words reveal unto us the repentance of Saul of Tarsus. Here we have Paul's response after the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him. Paul the penitent. He falls down before the God of heaven in repentance and faith and is saved by the grace of God. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do we learn here when we consider these words? Well, in Paul's repentance, there is obedience. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He was willing to yield to the will of God and to the word of God and to the ways of God. When a sinner repents, truly repents, and of course, there's not much said today, even among evangelicals, about repentance. The word repentance means turning away from sin, doing an about turn. My friend, if you want to be saved tonight, not only must you get a revelation of Jesus Christ and recognize that He is the only Savior, not only must you see yourself as the sinner before God, but you must repent of your sin. Turn away from your sin. And when a sinner repents, the first thing that they will want to do is to obey the word of God. A man who continually lives in sin and for sin and lives in disobedience to God's word is a man who has not found repentance unto life. But Paul found repentance unto life because he wants to do the will of God. He said it, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And Paul's repentance, he now recognizes that the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And Lord of his life, he says, Lord, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? No more persecuting Christ and his church. Now he's a member of that church and Christ is his Lord and King and Master. Is the Lord King of your life? Is the Lord Master of your life? Is the Lord Lord of your life? In Paul's repentance, his whole life is now changed. Instead of persecuting, he is now praying. Instead of fighting against God, he is now yielding to God's will. Instead of resisting, he is now resting on the promises of God. Paul's repentance can be seen in the fact that his life has been changed by the power of God, and God testifies to this change in Paul's life to Ananias. Now we're going to see more of this as we continue these studies. But it's important, men and women, to see the change and the transformation that took place in the life of Saul of Tarsus. Look at verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, here am I, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Now look at verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many things of this man, heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Ananias was skeptical.
And yet the Lord was speaking to him, and the Lord was directing him. And yet Ananias was still skeptical concerning the change that had taken place in this man's life, Saul of Tarsus. But look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Oh friend, can you see here how the Lord wondrously saved Saul of Tarsus? There was true repentance in his heart and in his life. And there was a change that was evident to be seen. It wasn't just words, but the change could be seen in his life. Behold, he prayeth. Behold, he prayeth. And not only did he pray, but he became a witness to the fact and to the truth that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. The very one that he had been persecuting, the very one that he had been fighting against, he was now declaring, "This is the Son of God." My friend, has there ever been a change in your life like that? Has there? Has your life been transformed by the power of God? You know, it is possible to be brought up in a Christian home and brought up in an evangelical church and sit under the sound of the gospel and not be saved. It's possible. It's possible that there are those in this meeting tonight and you're not really saved. Now, you may have made some little profession and some little meeting somewhere along life's journey, but your life hasn't been changed. No one has ever heard you praying, and no one has ever heard you witnessing, and no one has ever seen that change that is so evident in the life of the penitent sinner coming to Christ. Oh, my friend, if you're not saved tonight, get saved. And you can be saved this evening. You say to me, "But Mr. Gray, how could I face my friends tomorrow?" Well, get saved tonight, and the Lord will give you the strength to face your friends tomorrow. You say, "Mr. Gray, how could I get saved tonight and go to work tomorrow? How could I tell those people that I work with that I'm now a Christian?" Well, get saved tonight, and the Lord will give you the grace tomorrow. You'll not need the grace until you need it, and you'll not need the help from the Lord until you need it. But he'll give you that help, and he'll give you that grace. But true repentance means a change in the life. An outward change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And over these next number of weeks, as we study these highlights from the life of the Apostle Paul, we are going to see how Paul's life was changed and transformed. But my friend, your life will never be changed and transformed until you take the sinner's place. You bow before God in true repentance and faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Turn away from your sin. Then, and only then, will you become an effective witness